Thank you. So nice to be here. Thank you, Sarah. It was nice to actually hear a familiar voice when she called me. It's been a very long time, but we used to go to elementary school together, so that was very cute to reconnect over Shir. Anyway, so nice of everyone to come out in the freezing weather. Chodesh Tov. I thought that we would talk a little bit about, you know, when we look at the Megillah, and Mirat Hashem, next week we're going to read it together. There's a lot of different things that we can learn about. There's a lot of different lessons that we can glean. We can, you know, learn it on many different levels. You know, we can look at the Megillah and we can learn to see Yad Hashem, Hashem's hidden hands. And there's really a lot of different messages and a lot of different ways to learn it. But I think that, you know, when we read through the Megillah, something, at least for me, something really started to stand out and to pop out. And it's very interesting because we don't really think about that. But when you look at the Megillah, there's a lot of talk about clothing in the Megillah. You know, you start off with the story, and Ahasuerus is making this grand party, and you know, he decides that he needs to dress up accordingly for a party. And so what does he do? So he decides he's going to, according to Chazal, he comes wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. He comes dressed up in that clothing. And then we continue on in our story. And later on, Haman is asked by Ahasuerus, you know, Haman, there's someone that I really want to honor. What do you think I should do to pay this person the proper respect? And what does Haman respond? Clothing, of course. Dress him in the royal clothing, place on him the royal crown, you know, get it, pull him around on a nice horse, your horse. And again, we see Esther's preparing to go before Ahasuerus, and she fasts, and the Megillah is recording her different preparations for this very scary moment. Will she live? Will she die? She's going before the king without being called. And the Torah tells us, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, that part of her preparation is that she dresses in royalty or in royal garb. And then finally we come to the climax of the Megillah, the high point, and you know, thank God the Jews are saved, and you know, Haman is killed, and Mordechai is elevated, and we're all in shul, and it's coming to the end, and we're going to read aloud a pasuk. And what do we read? We read, "Or Mordechai yatzam milufnei hamelach bilvush malchus tchelas v'chor v'ateres zahav gedolah v'tachrich butz v'argaman v'ir shushan talav samecha." And Mordechai goes out in royal clothing made of blue and white, with a big golden crown and a wrap of linen and purple. And the city of Shushan is rejoiced, and they're ecstatic, and they're shouting out. And it seems almost strange and bizarre. I mean, this is the high point that we're waiting for. This is the pasuk that we're going to read out loud together. We're going to talk about how Mordechai was dressed, that he was dressed in royal clothing. So why is there so much talk and so much emphasis in the Megillah on clothing? And what role does clothing have, or what role does it play in our struggle with Haman and with Amalek? And it's not only this recurring theme of clothing that we find in the Megillah that needs to be understood, but in fact, Bnei Yisrael themselves are referred to as clothing. There's a number of places in Yeshayahu that Bnei Yisrael are called the clothing of Tzion, of Yerushalayim. One such instance is the pasuk in Parak Mantes writes, "Si'i saviv einayach ori'i kulam nikbitzu ba'ulach, ki kulam ka'adi tabishi, u'tiksharim kekala." Raise your eyes around and see, they have all gathered and come to you. You will clothe yourself with them all and adorn yourself like a bride. And again, another pasuk, "Uri uri livshi uzech Tzion, livshi bigdei tefarte." Awaken, awaken, don your strength, O Zion, don your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, holy city. So Bnei Yisrael, again, there's this constant imagery of Bnei Yisrael being this glorious clothing, this splendid clothing, this big day tiferes of Yerushalayim. They're always described as, you know, the special clothing, clothing of righteousness, clothing of a kala, of a bride, or this beautiful jewelry. And the Malbim explains that there are levushim, what he calls levushim regilim, these regular types of clothing that like a desolate land would have, what you would think, you know, land, it's covered in grass, it's covered in animals and simple people. But once the land is inhabited, and once more and more people go, and important people and beautiful things are built upon the land, so therefore it adds beauty to that, and that's considered, you know, this higher level of beautiful clothing. But the expression of the tiksharim of akala hints to an even greater level, a greater importance than regular clothing. And there the Malbim writes, "Kimosha hakala shomeret kushureha shehu ha'adi shenatan la'achatan al yadal l'shem Kiddushin, just like a bride, she watches over and she takes care of the beautiful jewelry that her chassan gave her, that her groom gave her, balya of dumimena, ki heim os hakidush beino uveina. Right? Why does she keep it? Because this is the sign of their betrothal. This is the sign of their relationship between the husband and the wife. And so therefore, she doesn't want to lose it. She holds on to those rings because they mean so much and they symbolize something very important. So he continues, Kein tikshirei otam ha'irusin alayach leval yetzu od mimcha sheinit, ki heim os ha'irusin b'nayach uvein ha'elokim. Similarly, Tzion, similar Yerushalayim, needs to hold on to Bnei Yisrael, needs to hold on to these special inhabitants, because when Yerushalayim is inhabited by Bnei Yisrael, it shows the sign of the relationship of the special relationship that Yerushalayim has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, we are that special jewelry, we are that special sign that symbolizes, you know, the relationship between Hashem and Yerushalayim. But I think really, in order to better understand the role of clothing in the Purim story, and more this mashal of Bnei Yisrael being considered the glorious clothing of Yerushalayim, we have to really understand what clothing is. You know, I think most of us really have these very conflicted feelings about clothing. On the one hand, we all feel like it's very important, you know, how we put ourselves together, finding that right outfit, putting our best foot forward. And on the other hand, there's like sometimes this conflicting feeling we have inside. Am I putting too much emphasis? Do I care too much? Is it really so important? And we really see the very similar, you know, struggle in Judaism. On the one hand, there's very explicit instructions about clothing. The Kohen Gadol has specific clothing. We wear special clothing on Shabbos, etc. And on the other hand, we have restrictions about shatness, about tzitzis, about how we should dress and how we should look and how we should appear. So I think that really, in order to understand what the Torah perspective is on clothing, we need to go back to the very beginning, to where it all began in Sefer Bereishis. And the Pasuk writes in Sefer Bereishis, when we're talking about in Gan Eden about Adam and Chava, the Pasuk writes, Vayushnehem Arumim, Ha'adam Ve'ishto V'lo Yid Boshashu. So at the beginning of time, when God created the world and God created man, the Adam and Chava were both created and they were naked, they had no clothing, but yet they were not ashamed. And then in Parak Gimel, we continue on with the story. We know that Teira ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal, v'ki ta'avahu le'inayim, v'nechmar ha'etz l'haskil, v'tikach mipriyo, v'tochal, v'titein gam la'isha ima v'yochal. And so there, the Chava sees this tree, and she sees that it's something that she desires, and it's a delight to contemplate, and she takes from the fruit of this forbidden tree, and she eats from it, and she also gives to Adam to eat. And what happens in Pasuk Zayin, Vatifakachna Einei Shnehem, Vayadu Ki Arumim Heim, Vayifuru Alei Te'ina, Vayasu Lahem Chagurot. And all of a sudden, they ate from the forbidden fruit, they ate from the tree, and their eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, they realized that they were naked. And so what do? They quickly sewed together some fig leaves and made for themselves, Chagurot will translate loosely as aprons. They made for themselves some sort of garment, something to cover themselves up. And then a little later on in our parak, the pasuk writes, "Vayas Hashem Elokim laAdam liishto kotnat or vayabishem." And then Hashem goes and he makes for Adam and Chava, Adam and his wife, garments of skin, and he clothes them. So according to the Malbim, before the sin, before this whole situation, we had Adam and Chava and Gan Eden, and they were naked. They were not embarrassed, and they did not need any clothing, because the body was merely a kli in order to do physical actions. I need to be able to walk to do something, so therefore I require legs. But the body really just mirrored that of the soul, and therefore there was no contradiction between the soul, between the neshama, and between the body, and it didn't, therefore, man wasn't embarrassed of his body, just like an animal. Animals don't have clothing. Animals don't need to wear clothing because there's no difference between the animal soul and the animal body. It's one and the same. And so therefore, an animal is not embarrassed if it's naked, if it's not wearing any clothing. But after the sin, when man became physical, because it went after his physical desires, and he partook in this forbidden fruit, the leather clothing now covered the ore with the aleph, the ore, the light of the neshama, and the neshama all of a sudden became embarrassed by the body. And therefore, what did man do? He right away, he sought out clothing. He wanted to cover the body, to cover this physical nakedness, so that people should not look at man and view him as a body, but rather, there's something more to me than just this physical body. I am not just the body. There is some spiritual aspect to me. And according to the Arizal, he writes that the ore with an aleph, the light that man possessed, all of a sudden became ore with an ayin. This leather, this clothing, because now there was this contradiction between the body and the soul, the guf and the neshama. And Rav Hirsch writes that since this special clothing was given by Hashem Elokim, this dual name of Hashem, therefore it must also have a dual meaning, a dual fashion. And he writes that the purpose of clothing is to educate man to return to his original stature. A, clothing covers the body's nakedness, thus warning man to rule over his body. And B, clothing affords protection against the elements of nature, thus reminding man that he has fallen from his former stature, to which he has not yet returned. Man was created without a garment. The peacefulness of paradise prevailed between him and nature around him. Now, however, he needs a garment, and this garment reminds him that as long as he must be ashamed of his body, he has not yet returned to paradise, and the ground is still arura, it's cursed. And so therefore, he needs clothing in order to remind him of what he was, and that he needs to harness the physical body. And the Rav Hirsch continues, and he says that's why there's different explanations of what are these kotnot or that Hashem created. Some say the kotnot or are these garments of light. Others say that they're actually priestly garments. The Medrash writes, She'aselo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bigdei Kehuna, that God actually created for Adam clothing of the Kohen. Because what is the purpose of clothing? It's to enlighten us and to sanctify us like Kohanei Hashem. And so therefore we have this dual purpose in clothing. We have this concept of hiding on the one hand and yet revealing on the other. On the one hand, what does clothing do? It covers the physical and it helps us harness our body and allow us to control it. And on the other hand, it allows the inside to shine through so that the outside is not a distraction. I'm not just the body, but there's something more to me. And it's really based on this that we can better understand what the Bigdei Kehuna were, the purpose of these priestly garments. The Bigdei Kehuna also served this dual purpose. On the one hand, when a Kohen goes lifnai lifnim, when he does the avodah before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has to know how and be able to rule over his physical body. He has to be able to harness his physical desires. And on the other hand, the clothing, these priestly garments, have to reflect the special character that the Kohen is supposed to represent. It's supposed to reveal the inside. It's supposed to reveal this special character. And I really think that it's with this understanding of clothing that we can go back and look through Tanakh and look through all these instances in Tanakh of clothing with a new perspective. And I think perhaps the most famous story in Tanakh where we deal with clothing is the story of Yosef. And the pasuk writes, "Vayisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav ki ben zakunim hulo." Right? Yaakov loved Yosef more than all the others. And therefore, v'aselo ketonet pasim. He made him this special multicolored coat or this special garment. We call the ketonet pasim. And Rashi brings down the Medrash Haggadah that writes, "What was the purpose of this ketonet pasim? What did it signify?" He says it signifies all the tsaros, all the tragedies that would befall Yosef. Namely, it's an acronym. Pasim is Potiphar, Sochrim, Yishmaelim, Eminyanim. And the Midianim. Basically, everything that was about to happen to Yosef, that he was going to be sold to Mitzrayim, and he was going to be passed from hand to hand, and ultimately, he was going to end up in the house of Potiphar, and he was going to experience all this pain and suffering, all these trials and tribulations. That is what this special coat symbolized, and that is why Yaakov gave this to Yosef. And I think it's almost bizarre. I mean, we always take it at face value that, oh, it's a special coat because he loved Yosef and therefore he gave him this special coat. But based on this Medrash Haggadah, why would Yaakov give his son a coat that's going to symbolize for him, Yosef, here's this coat, and it's going to symbolize for you all the bad things that are about to happen to you. So hang on, it's a sneak preview. It's almost strange and bizarre. You love someone so much and therefore you're giving them this special coat that's going to signify all these bad things that are going to happen to them. But it's precisely that. Yaakov gave Yosef this coat because it was the coat that was going to be the tool to overcome all these sorrows and these hardships. Yaakov knew what Yosef was going to go through. He knew about the trials and tribulations. And therefore, he gave him this koach of the beged, this special garment, or this message of the garment that he was showing Yosef. Yosef, you want to know how you're going to get through all this stuff that's going to happen to you? It's not going to be easy. You're going to be tested time and again. But you want to know how you're going to get through it? It's going to be through the beged. It's going to be through wearing this special coat, through harnessing your physical body and allowing your neshama to shine through, being true to who you are and to your special tafkid, your special mission. And just like when Hashem sends Adam and Chava out of Gan Eden, He gave them these special clothing, this coat note or, in order to help them survive in the big wide world. Yaakov gave Yosef this special coat, this ksonet pasim, to give Yosef that special reminder. Yosef, you're going to experience a lot of hard things in your life. You want to know how you're going to get through it? It's with this beged. It's with the lesson of the clothing. And so therefore, day after day, when Ashes Potiphar would come, and she would try to get Yosef to sin, and come on Yosef, you know, and she would go after him relentlessly, the Pasuk finally says, you know, to no avail, right? She tried day in and day out. She was the mistress. She was it all. And Yosef kept on turning her away. And finally, what does the Pasuk tell us? Vatit pisehu bebigdo. She grabs onto his coat, right? What did Ashes Potiphar try to do? She tried to grab him by his garment, by his beged. She tried to remove that control that he had over his body and convince him, Yosef, you don't need this. Go after your daivot. Go after your desire. Leave this stuff aside. And what was it that saved Yosef? What was it that allowed him to prevail against Ashes Potiphar? The Gemara in Sota tells us that Yosef saw a vision of his father, a vision of Yaakov. What was Yaakov saying to Yosef in that vision? Yaakov said to Yosef, Yosef, in the future, your brothers are going to have all of their names on the choshen, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Is your name going to be there too? Or is your name going to be erased because of this nus, because you go after your desires? What was Yaakov reminding Yosef of? The Choshen was one of the big day kahuna. He was reminding him of the lesson of the clothing. He was reminding him, Yosef, you want to get through this? You're going to have to exert control over your physical body. And that's how you're going to overcome this difficult nisoyon. You're going to have to stay true to who you are and to what your special tafkid is, that what's inside of you. And it's interesting to note that when Yosef's brothers leave Eretz Yisrael and they come down to Mitzrayim, Yosef sends them a little, you know, welcome package. And what does he give his brothers? The Pasuk writes, L'kulam natan li'ish chalifot simlot. He sends his brothers a change of clothing. Maybe when you come down to Mitzrayim, you might dirty your clothing. It's important to always have a change, right? But Yosef's giving them much more. He's giving them the lesson of the clothing. He's telling his brothers, you're coming down to Mitzrayim now. You're coming down to the Erevas Haaretz. You're coming down to a place that you're going to be tried, and it's not going to be easy. How are you going to survive? It's the lesson of the clothing. And it's interesting to note that what were one of the special merits that Bnei Yisrael had when they left Mitzrayim? Shalosh shinu malbusham. They didn't change their clothing. Their clothing, they stayed true to the lesson of the clothing. And therefore, they were able to prevail even in the harshest of the Gullus, in Gullus Mitzrayim. And when Yosef goes and he gives his brothers these special garments, the Pasuk adds, Ulevinyamin Natan Chamesh Chalifot Simlot. He gave all of his brothers one change of clothing. But to his special brother, Binyamin, he gave him five changes of clothing. And at first glance, this seems very strange. I mean, we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik. Didn't he learn from history. His father gave him a special garment. His brothers hated him. They tried to kill him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him down to Egypt. And yet, he's repeating the same behavior again. He's giving his brother Binyamin not one set of a suit or a change of clothing. He's giving him five. The Gemara Megillah tells us the reason for this. It writes, Amar Rav Binyamin bar Yefet, Ramaz lo she'atid ben latzeit mimenu, she'yetzei milfnei ha-melech, b'chamisha levushei malchus, she'ne'amar, u'murdechai yatsa milfnei ha-melech, b'levush malchus, tzcheles v'chor v'ateres zahav g'dola v'tachrich butz v'argaman, v'air shushan tzahalav ha-samechat. That pasuk that we just read. Yosef gave Binyamin this extra clothing to create an impression for the future generations, for the generation of Mordechai HaTzadik, for the generation that would need this lesson of the clothing in order to get through the story of Purim. The Maharal in Netzach Yisraeli explains that Adam had this special mila, this special level of clothing, of levush. And he writes, Ukashem sheyarash Yaakov ma'alat hatzelem shehu Eloki, kach yarash Esav ma'alat halavush. So he says, just like Yaakov got this special mila, this special level of tzelem, of divine image, which is godly, similarly, Esav inherited this mila, this quality, this level of levush, of clothing. Ki ma'alat hatzelem hu ma'alat elokit, u ma'alat halavush eino elokit, rak kavod v'yakar nirei le'inayim, shemarei la'atzmo b'levush hadar, aval ein ze ma'alat elokit, rak kavod v'chashivut v'dvar ze yarash Esav. He says, Yaakov got this aspect, this special level, which was godly, which was divine. And Esav got this level of clothing, which looks beautiful, and it's very honorable to come out in these robes and this nice, beautiful clothing and this stature, but yet there's not much more to it than just this external appearance of glory and of kavod. And it's really this dichotomy that we can see very clearly in the Megillah, this dichotomy of the tzelem versus the levush. Haman, who we know is a descendant of Esav, he got these external aspects of malbush, the external aspects of clothing. And so, when Ahasuerus says to Haman, I have this man who I want to honor, what should I do? I mean, Haman could have said anything in the world. Money, power, fame, you name it. He could have said anything. It was like rubbing a genie. And what did he say? He said, wear the king's clothing. Ride on the king's horse. He spoke about external status items, designer clothing, which in his worldview brings honor. That's what's important. You want to honor someone? You have to buy them a nice pocketbook. You really need to put them in a nice dress with, you know, those really nice heels to match. That is going to bring a person in Haman's worldview the ultimate honor. But Mordechai, on the other hand, he was a descendant of Yaakov. He inherited this aspect of the tzelem, of the godly and the spiritual aspect of clothing, which allows him to harness the physical body and desires, and therefore Mordechai was able to not attend this party. This party was the last word. Everyone was going to the party. Everyone wanted to go to the party. What was the big deal about going to the party, right? The whole city's going. How could we show that we're different? How could we show that we're not going to be respectful to the king? But Mordechai was able to stand up against this and go against the grain. And ultimately, through doing this, he really revealed his godliness, and then with this Selim, Mordechai was able to really wear this clothing of royalty, this clothing of Malchus, the special clothing. And we see a similar concept with Esther. So the pasuk writes, "Vatalbash Esther Malchus," that Esther wore royalty. And it's interesting to note, the Maharal says, it doesn't say that Esther wore big day Malchus, that she wore clothing of royalty, but rather Esther wore royalty. Esther wore clothing because Esther herself was a Malka. She was royal herself. And therefore, it's shayach to say, it's appropriate to say by Esther, she wore malchus, she wore royalty. Because we know clothing is something that can change. It's external. But rather, Esther herself, in who she was as a person, her tzelem, her inside, was royalty, and therefore the pasuk doesn't need to use the word beged, that she wore clothing of royalty, because her outside perfectly reflected her inside. But we know on the flip side that there's this danger of there's this danger in clothing, that when it's only external and it doesn't reflect anything more, anything that's internal. And that's really what we see with Ahasuerus. We see at the beginning of the Megillah, Ahasuerus thinks, I'm very important. I want to show everybody that I'm important. So what am I going to do? I'm going to come to my party wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol was clearly an important figure, and therefore I'm going to be important by wearing his clothing. But we know that it just doesn't wash. That you can read the word beged, clothing, or mi'il, cloak, as bigida or mi'ila, which means rebellion and treachery. We know that the person can walk around the hospital and they can wear that nice white coat and they can wear a stethoscope around their neck. But in the end of the day, if they didn't go through medical school and they didn't do their residency, they're just a poser. They're an imposter. The clothing means nothing. You can dress it, and you can pretend that you're that, but if you don't have the inside, if you don't have the credentials to reflect the outside, it's meaningless. It's a bigida. It's a mi'ila. It's a rebellion. It's treachery. So therefore, like, when people go and they look at clothing as a goal in and of itself, it can create the opposite effect. Because instead of covering the body and harnessing the physical and allowing the inside, the panemius, to really shine through as who that person is, it's just the body itself that's looked at it and is admired. And that's really the koach of Esav. This is the koach. This is what we see. We're surrounded in Gullus Edom. It's the big billboard selling us, you want to know how you're going to be important? You want to feel important? You want to be important? Wear this outfit. Dress like this. Wear those shoes. That's going to make you important. That's going to make you successful. And it's the external beauty and the external that's lauded. And therefore, we forget what's really important about the person. The inside, who they are as a person. What is their pnimius? What is their tselem? Which we know is the tselem of Yaakov. And so what do we do on Purim? On Purim, we wear costumes. Why? Because we're trying to remind ourselves the external is all just a facade. It's not just about what you wear. The glory of Esav and the honor of Esav is external. We as Jewish people, what do we have to do? We have to bring out the inside. We have to reveal our pnimius. We have to reveal who we are. You know, often when you see someone really dressed up and it's a good costume, you have to say to yourself, who is that? I'm not really sure, because we're not identifying them as what they're wearing, but rather, who are they as a person? And therefore, on Purim, what do? We drink wine. Because on wine, when we say when a person drinks wine, nichnas yayin yatsa sod. When a person drinks wine, the secrets, the inside of a person really comes out. You really get to know what the kishk is, what the core of that person is. And therefore, Purim, we try to emphasize what is the internal, what are we really about? And it's because of this concern that we can mistake clothing for a goal in of itself, that we have a lot of mitzvot that are connected to clothing, whether it's big day kahuna, whether it's shatness, not wearing wool and linen together, or men on a four-cornered garment, they wear tzitzis. And the pasuk writes, what's the goal in describing tzitzis? V'lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. Not to go after our hearts and our eyes. Why? Because it's to remind ourselves, what do we need to do? We have to cover and harness the body. We can't go after our physical desires and after our eyes and after our hearts. And it's really based on this that we can understand a much deeper understanding of the Mishnah Avos. The Mishnah Avos states, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim v'lo matzati laguf tov elashtika. My whole life, I grew up among the chachamim, and what is the best thing that I found? What's the best thing for a body? Shtika. We understand as silence. It's not so good to talk so much. But we can really understand it in another way. What's the best thing to do? What did I learn from the chachamim? That I have to learn to silence my body, to silence my physical desires, or that earthly side of me, and allow who I am as a person, my pnimius, my neshama, my inside, my job in this world, who I really am as a person, that's what I have to allow to shine through. And it's really based on this that we can better understand this whole concept of tznius, of modesty, of a certain type of a dress. The Torah gives us guidelines about dignified dress in order to deflect attention from our superficial appearances so that people can really see us for who we are. The Torah tells us that a Kohen has to wear clothing, and the purpose of the clothing of the Kohen is lekavod uletiferes, for glory and for honor and for splendor. Because the Torah is telling us that what type of clothing we wear speaks volumes about the honor and the glory of human beings as we are created in the image of God with this tselem that we inherited, the tselem of Yaakov. So we say, like, tznius is not just this man-woman issue, but really it's a human dignity issue. It's for the same reason that the Gemara tells us that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, it's inappropriate. He's not supposed to go out and stain dirty clothing, because the clothing is supposed to reflect who that person is on the inside. And that's really the challenge of clothing. The challenge of clothing is trying to create this balance, to know how to wear the clothing, to find this balance between the body and on the soul. On the one hand, we're trying to hide the body, and on the other hand, we're trying to reveal who we are as people. We know that our clothing speaks volumes about who we are and how we want to come across and who we identify with. And I think it's really based on this deeper understanding of clothing that we can understand the imagery that B'nai Yisrael is the adornment of Yerushalayim. That B'nai Yisrael are these glorious clothing of Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is just, she's embarrassed when she's desolate without her people, without B'nai Yisrael. Because otherwise, when B'nai Yisrael are not in Yerushalayim, we're just another city, right? With roads, a collection of neighborhoods, some pretty landscaping, but not much more than that. But what's really Yerushalayim? What's Yerushalayim's essence? She's a holy city. She's a godly city. So what is the glorious clothing that testifies to Yerushalayim's inner essence? What tells the world Yerushalayim is just not a city, but there's something more to her? There's something deep and glorious about Yerushalayim? And that is B'nai Yisrael. As the Pasuk writes, Kulam nikpadzu ba'ulach, ki kulam ka'adi, talbishi, utiksharim kekala. When B'nai Yisrael inhabit Yerushalayim, when B'nai Yisrael live in Yerushalayim, we point to the inner essence. Who is Yerushalayim? What is Yerushalayim's purpose? The purpose of Yerushalayim is to be a godly city, is to be a spiritual city. And so therefore, when B'nai Yisrael are in Yerushalayim, we show the world Yerushalayim is just not a city like everyone else. There's something more to her, and we allow them to see something deeper, just as clothing allows us to see what is not necessarily readily seen to the eye. We know, and it's very interesting. You know, the Gemara in Shabbos discusses when a person it's discussing the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, and when the Talmidei Chachamim left Eretz Yisrael and they went to Bavel, it says that they dressed in a very special way. And the Pasuk writes, and the Gemara asks, why? Why did the Talmidei Chachamim and Bava go to these great lengths to dress in such a dignified manner? And I'll translate it into the Hebrew, obviously not the Aramaic. But the Gemara writes, Bimkomi Shmi, Lo Bimkomi Levushi. In a place that I am known, that everyone knows me, my name is enough. I can walk into a room and you'll say, did you see Rebecca Belazon? And everyone will say, oh yeah, she went this way, she went that way. But in a place where I'm not known, someone who's looking for me will come into the room and say, did you see her? She's X height. She has this color hair. She has this color eyes. She's wearing this. In a place where I am not known, it's my clothing which identifies me as who I am. And similarly, I once heard Rebbe Tarsha say that we say, like, you know, the neshama is not in her place right now. The neshama belongs in the heavens. But in this world, how can we identify the neshama? We identify the neshama by her clothing, the guf, how she portrays herself in this world. And that's really that difficult balance that we find in the clothing. On the one hand, we need to, you know, hide our bodies to say, I'm not just a body, there's more to me. And on the other hand, I need to reveal who I am as a person. What is my neshama saying? What's my inside? What is my clothing speaking about who I am? And I think that when we take to heart this lesson of the clothing, and we learn to harness our physical desires, and on the other hand, we learn to reveal our pnimius to who we are and to what our neshama is, we learn to strike this balance. And I think it's really the lesson of the Purim story that reminds us of this, that life and clothing is much more than just, you know, the designer names or the externals. That's the Levush of Esav. That's the Mila that Esav inherited. It's more than just the perfect outfit or the perfect shoes or that great accessory. Not that it's not important to put ourselves together, because clearly we know, like we said, the clothing on the other hand really reveals who we are as a person. But I think if we learn to take this lesson, to harness that physical aspect and allow our insides to shine through like Mordechai HaTzadik did, then we're going to really be able to wear those royal garments that we read about at the end of the Megillah, that we rejoice that Mordechai got to that level. Mordechai was able to go out Bilvush Malchus because he really was royalty. Like we said about Esther, She was royalty. She didn't need the clothing to reflect it. That's who she was. And I think that when we learn to this lesson of the clothing and we learn to find this balance, then ultimately, hopefully, once again, we'll merit this ultimate salvation where we will once again be able to be that special clothing of Yerushalayim. We'll come back to Eretz Yisrael and we'll show that Yerushalayim is more than just a city. And we will be able to be that glorious clothing, that big day Tiferes.